Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Playing this week is Jeff Clear from Hastings, Minnesota. His expert categories are pre-1990 comic books, The Muppets, children's literature, and Star Wars: A New Hope. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. Jeff, thanks for coming on. I am excited to have you play my game after having played your hosted game before this. And we'll see if you did better than I did, and that's a pretty low bar, so there's that. Where would you like to start your Lockdown game?
Ooh, good question. You know what? That the way you described the children's literature seemed really interesting. So let's start there with the unlocked question.
All right. Your unlocked children's literature clue. In this category, I'm going to give Jeff a famous quote from a book, the author of the book, and the year the book came out. And he will try to identify which book that is. Here's your unlocked clue. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. That is Dr. Seuss in 1971.
Oh, okay. My first guess was, The Places You'll Go. I hate that book as a teacher just because everybody gives it to you at the end of the year to sign. and they all think it's the coolest thing. And I'm like, I think that's that trend, thankfully, is winding down. But that wasn't, I don't think that was 1971. So since it's, you know, about caring a lot and I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking this is The Lorax.
And I'm thinking you have your first key of Lockdown Trivia, yes. That's definitely the activism Dr. Seuss book, as if there ever was one. And you have a key. What do you want to do with it?
Well, let's just keep this train rolling. We'll go with Children's Lit for one key.
All right, here's your clue. You're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. A.A. Milne, 1926.
Okay, well, A.A. Milne is Winnie the Pooh, but I'm trying to remember. Ooh, was his book, was it actually called Winnie the Pooh? Or was it something more like, you know, Tales from the Hundred Acre Wood? I don't think that's right, but, oh man, I know there was a Winnie the Pooh book, but was that the first one? Well, you've called it that the first time. Oh, I'm kicking myself. You know, I'm just gonna go with Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, it's a pub trivia quiz. Yeah, the one key clue. That's correct. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh is the name of that book.
Yeah, I know. It seemed a little too easy at first, and I know it's only the one question.
Jeff, you have two keys. Would you like to continue the category or jump somewhere else?
Let's just keep going, I think.
Okay, here's your next clue. Never do anything by halves if you want to get away with it. Be outrageous. Go the whole hog. Roald Dahl, 1988.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. Okay, so to date myself, 88 was when I graduated high school. So if it's one I read, that would have been before that. If it was one I didn't read when I was a kid. So 88, do anything by halves. Whole hog. James and the Giant Peach was before that. Oh, jeez. Is that The Witches? I know I didn't read that one. VFG.
I don't think that was out when I was a kid.
I'm going to go BFG. The BFG.
BFG is my favorite Roald Dahl book. Unfortunately,
no.
That's not the correct answer to this one. This was Matilda.
Oh. Yeah, I might have, if I dug a little longer, I might have come up with that one. But
Jeff, unfortunately, I have to take your two keys, but as you can see on your board, there is so much room to play. So yep. Where would you like to go next?
Let's jump to pre-1990s comic books.
All right, here's your unlocked question in pre-1990s comic books. The year 1942 saw the introduction of what superhero, who was the first feminist icon in the genre, becoming a symbol of female empowerment and one of the most enduring superheroes?
Oh, that would have to be Wonder Woman.
It would be Wonder Woman. Yes, that is correct. And you're back in your winning ways with a key.
What would you like to do? Let's just keep going with comic books.
All right. Your one key question is this. Amazing Fantasy number 15 in 1962 was the first appearance of what superhero, which revolutionized superheroes by introducing a teenage lead with real-world problems?
That would be the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, amazing is the key word there for sure, and Spider-Man is correct. Two keys, and I don't want to make assumptions, but where are we going next?
Well, let's just... I can't jump around. Let's just keep going.
A postmodern deconstruction of superheroes, examining power, morality, and existential dread. What 1986 comic that became a 2009 movie is cited as one of the greatest comics of all time?
That would be The Watchmen.
It would be The Watchmen. It might be the greatest comic of all time, but I certainly don't share that sentiment with the movie.
Yeah, the movie was a little disappointing. Let's keep going.
All right, your three key comic book question is this. What 1986 gritty dystopian reinvention of Batman that almost shares its name with a Christopher Nolan movie helped redefine superhero comics for adult audiences?
Okay, I always just, when everybody talked about it, trying to remember, we always just said, trying to remember if it's a third word or not. We always just referred to it as Dark Knight. There's a third word. I think it's the Dark Knight Returns.
That is correct, Jeff. Yes. Almost like, The Dark Knight Rises. Not quite. Yes. And you have four keys. Would you like to finish the category?
It's been working for me. Let's do it.
Here's your four key comic book question. Marvel Comics number one in 1939 was the precursor to the Marvel franchise, and among others, featured what hero who will be appearing in a 2025 movie?
I mean, I haven't heard much. I haven't stayed up on the newer Marvel coming out. Most of the newer Marvel stuff coming out is with, like, newer characters. I know the Fantastic Four movie's coming out in a month or so. And that has the Human Torch. And I seem to remember, for some reason, Human Torch is jumping out at me. So I'm going to say the Human Torch, even though it's a different Human Torch.
Yes, you swept your comic book category. Well done. You have enough keys to do anything you want.
So I'm going
to
jump to a four key. You know what? Let's do this. Let's jump over to four key in the children's literature.
Let's see what the hypothetically hardest clue of that category is. The quote is, "Sometimes I've believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast." Lewis Carroll, 1871.
1871? Not that that matters. Okay, so again, this is where there's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Is that the book or is that the movie? I think the book was Through the Looking Glass. I'm going to go with Through the Looking Glass.
That is correct. Yes. And it's actually, the reason this is the four key clue is that's the sequel to the original book.
Okay.
Which is what makes it maybe a tougher pull, but it wasn't for Jeff Clear. He got that no problem. So,
woo!
Yes, Through the Looking Glass is correct, and you have, again, plenty of keys to do whatever you want.
So, let's see. What do we want four keys on? You know, let's go four keys Muppets.
The Muppets for four keys. Here's your question. What Puerto Rican-born actress and EGOT club member won two Emmys, one for her work on the Rockford Files, and the other for hosting the Muppet Show in 1977.
Doesn't help me, because other than James Gardner, I don't know who was on that show. So I'm just going to hope it's Rita Moreno.
You'll be happy to know she was also on the Rockford Files.
Nice. That's
correct, Jeff. Rita Ooh. Moreno. I'm going to act like I knew that that was definitely the answer. you have more keys than you could possibly know what to do with. Ooh. What would you like to go with them?
Well, it makes sense to go to that last four keys in Star Wars A New Hope.
I've had a number of iterations of Star Wars categories and lockdown trivia so far, and I'm happy to do all of them because it's one of my favorite things in the entire world. Here is your four-key Star Wars A New Hope question. In the beginning of A New Hope, Darth Vader and his stormtroopers catch up to and board what ship shortly before C-3PO and R2-D2 disembark it?
Okay, I believe the ship was called the Tantive, T-A-N-T-I-V-E 4.
You're a nerd, Jeff. You're.
I don't know how I remember that.
Tantive 4 is correct. And it's also, I only know that because I spent more time on Star Wars Battlefront 2, the 2005 PlayStation 2 version of it, than I care to admit. And it was one of the best maps of the game, Tantive 4. So that is correct. And now we're just playing the walk it back game because you have answered all your four key questions correctly. Nice. And you have plenty of keys to do what you want. What's next?
Let's jump back to the children's lit three keys and close that out.
All right, here's your clue. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, 1943.
The only thing that's coming to mind is The Little Prince.
You're going to keep it rolling, Jeff. That is correct. Where to next, Jeff? I'm done keeping track of keys for now. What are we going to do next?
Let's go Muppets for three.
The Muppet three key question is this. Wilkins and Wonkins, the first two Muppets to appear on TV, did so in commercials pitching for the Wilkins brand of what common grocery item?
Ooh, this is a good question. And I don't know if I know the answer. Current Muppets, Rolf did Purina, you know, dog chow, but I don't think dog food would be a grocery item. Just trying to picture what maybe somebody named Wilkins and Watkins would you know what? I'm just going to say bread.
Bread is definitely a common grocery item, but the Wilkins brand of coffee is the correct answer here.
All right.
And for the first time in some time, Jeff, I have to take your keys. But your strategy has paid off because you have left yourself plenty of ways back in. Where would you like to go next?
Let's stick with the Muppets Unlocked, please.
All right, your Unlocked Muppets question is this. The 2011 film The Muppets was written by what admitted superfan of the original Muppets show, who also stars as the human lead in the film?
All right, so I'm not up on the current movies. I haven't seen them. I seem to remember him being... So I haven't seen the movie at all, but in the commercials, I don't remember any of the scenes of, like, you know, Fozzie and Kermit, you know, smoking a doobie or anything like that, but... I think it was Seth Rogen.
Unfortunately, it is not Seth Rogen.
No.
The lead of the Muppets movie in 2011 was Jason Segel.
Yeah. Wrong Freaks and Geeks actor. No, that's where I was going. That's totally, I think had it mixed up. Yeah, I was thinking, wow, all right. Yep, hey, now that I see it.
Fair enough, and you still have plenty of room into your game. We're not out of this yet. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go Star Wars Unlocked.
The Unlocked Star Wars A New Hope question is this. There's no underwear in space, or at least George Lucas said so, to what actress who had to use nipple tape to prevent unseemly visuals while filming?
That would be Carrie Fisher.
Yes, of course. Jeff, you've got one key. Where do you want to go with it? Because now it's a choice between, I think, obviously, whether you want to stay in Star Wars or go back to the Muppets.
Well, let's keep rolling with Star Wars.
All right, here's your one key Star Wars question. 22 years after his death, Disney was sued for using the likeness of what actor whose only Star Wars credit was A New Hope?
Oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. It's one of those. I mean, it's Grand Moff Tarkin. What? Peter Cushing.
Yeah, Peter Cushing is correct.
soon as I said Grand Moff Tarkin out loud, it...
keys, what do you want to do?
Let's just keep going with Star Wars.
All right, here's your two-key Star Wars question. What step-aunt and step-uncle, though family is family, of Luke Skywalker's raised him on a moisture farm in Tatooine under the watchful eye of Obi-Wan Kenobi?
That was Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Uncle Surname Owen.
Lars, if you need it.
Yeah, I don't need it. I just want Owen and Beru. That is correct. Three keys, Jeff.
Let's keep it going with Star Wars.
Let's see if we can sweep another category. Here is your three-key Star Wars question. What childhood friend of Luke Skywalker's reunited with Luke during the Battle of Yavin 4 when both participated in the assault on the Death Star?
Oh, come on. This is three keys. This would be Biggs Darklighter.
Yeah, you're a nerd. I don't think the average person knows that. Yeah, Biggs Darklighter is correct. You have swept your Star Wars category as well, and you have plenty of keys. Where to next?
I guess we'll go Muppets. Two keys.
All right. Your two-key Muppets question is this. While promoting 2014's Muppets Most Wanted, Miss Piggy appeared on QVC, introducing the Miss Piggy Oat Tote bag, and what signature perfume with a three-letter name?
All right, I should have put like a qualifier on this one, so I'm just going to have to try to work this out. So she was on QVC, tote bag, perfume with a three-letter brand, three-letter.
Yep, you got it.
Okay. Well, my spelling in English is terrible, and my spelling in French is even worse, but I'm just going to hope this is three letters. And I'm going to say moi.
Just out of curiosity, how would you spell it?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
M-O-I.
M-O-I is correct.
There we go.
Yeah. Miss Piggy with her oat tote bag.
Okay.
And your correct answer will lead for an obvious next question, but I want you to say it.
Okay. I'm going to say... This better not be a stupid-ass Muppet Babies question, so I'm going to go Muppets one key.
Your last expert category question. We haven't touched our bonus keys, so we'll see what happens next, but your Muppets one key question is this. Noted balcony curmudgeons Statler and Waldorf are named for what type of businesses located in New York City?
Those are hotels.
They are hotels, and you have... answered 17 out of 20 of your expert category questions correctly. So well done, Jeff. So now it's my game. Now we go to our bonus questions. Where do you want to start?
Now the pressure's off. I'm glad I don't need any of these for actual keys. I enjoy a good before and after.
Let's do it. Your before and after clue is this. It's going to bleed into one of your expert categories, so you might be happy about that.
All right.
A controversial 2005 children's book centered around a family of penguins with two dads, plus a sitcom that ran from 1976 to 1984, starring an actor who died of aortic dissection in 2003 at only 54 years old.
What was that penguin bit called? So I'm pretty sure... The actor in question, so I'm going to go backwards on this. I think the actor in question was John Ritter, which means the TV show is Three's Company. So the Penguin book, what was that called?
I don't think I'm going to pull it.
I don't think this is right, but I'm not going to get anything else because I think it might be a name. But I am going to go with Baby Makes Three's Company.
You're right. There was a name that needed to be in there. The correct answer to this is And Tango Makes Three's Company.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't gonna get Tango.
Like you said, it's no pressure. It's just living in Dalton's world now in the bonus keys. So where do you want to go next?
Well, let's just go across the board how they're written. So when in the world?
When in the world? Three things that happened. Tell me what year they happened. Here they are. Rosa Parks refuses to give her bus seat up to a white man in Alabama. The Warsaw Pact is formed against NATO. McDonald's is founded in Des Plaines, Illinois.
Oh, man. All right. So Rosa Parks, Warsaw Pact, McDonald's. Unless if you gave me those all separately, I would have given you vastly different years. So, I am going... All right. That's where I need my lifeline and call my son in here. These all happened in 19. I'm positive of that part.
What, you didn't think the Warsaw Pact was in 1200s? Come on.
It could have been. Well, I may have on that one. I'm old. I'm not that old. All right. I'm going to say 1962.
1955.
Yeah, I knew I was way off. I don't know.
55.
I knew I was way off.
Jeff, where to next?
Let's go National Blank Day.
All right. Today is National Wash Your Dishes Day.
I was wondering which one you picked. I actually researched this.
Yeah, you looked it up. Your question to celebrate as of recording National Wash Your Dishes Day is this. What defunct dish soap brand that does everything was known for including free towels or glassware in detergent boxes, but lost steam in the 1980s as its marketing gimmicks lost effectiveness?
Does everything. Well, since I didn't buy it, I don't remember any of the gimmicks that went along with it. Defunct dish soap brand I can think of is Ajax.
Is that really defunct?
I don't know. I don't see it anymore, so.
Fair enough. I know that one. That makes me feel old if it is. No, Ajax is unfortunately not the correct answer. The correct answer, cheekily, is Duz, D-U-Z.
I've never heard of that.
Their brand was Duz Everything.
Okay.
Duz.
Never heard of that. Never heard of that.
We got two left.
Yep.
Deep Cuts and Stormy Trivia. What do you want to do first?
Let's go Deep Cuts.
Jeff's self-reported favorite music genre was classic rock.
Well, so I'm going to... Luckily, this is one time I you know, wasn't literal, because classic rock is not my favorite, but it's probably what I know the most about.
Well, knowing the most is important for this one. So here are five songs.
Give it to me.
There are five songs from the first album of a definitively classic rock artist or band. You try to tell me which artist or band that is. Here are your songs. Make It, One Way Street, Write Me a Letter, Moving Out, Walking the Dog.
Walking the Dog. I mean, these all remind me of something. I heard Write Me a Letter. I thought like Joe Cocker, but that's Wrote Me a Letter, so that's not it. Moving Out's a Billy Joel song, and that's a pretty well-known one. Walking the Dog. You know what? I'm going to guess Aerosmith.
Bro, the biggest hit on this album was Dream On.
Yeah.
It is Aerosmith. And they use a lot of apostrophes in their song titles.
Yep. I think Walking the Dog was what did it for me.
Yes. So Aerosmith is correct.
Woo-hoo! Yay. And all right. I at least got one. I didn't get blanked.
I can't believe that it took this long for me to get Aerosmith in the Deep Cuts clue, because I love Aerosmith. And anybody that knows me is probably surprised it took this long for them to show up.
There you go.
Finally, Stormy Trivia, something I think you should know based on what I do know about you. You have no idea what's coming, but we'll see how it goes. Here is your final question of your episode. The first song on 2024's The Fall Guy soundtrack is a cover of what Kiss song that later in the movie plays again, the second time as an orchestral piece?
Oh my God. I remember seeing the movie and they played the song. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, but now I can't remember what it was. All right. What would it have been? Okay, Kiss songs. It's not going to be Detroit Rock City. That doesn't make sense. That would fit in with the Fall Guy. Why am I blanking out? Come on. Yeah, I keep coming back to the same like three songs. I'm just going to say the song was Lick It Up.
This would be consistent with Aerosmith's apostrophe usage.
Okay.
Because the correct answer is Youngblood's cover of I Was Made for Loving You.
Yep, there you go.
Yep. Almost every soundtrack song on that one is something about love.
Yeah. Five more minutes, I might have got to that, but...
Fair enough. It's also the first answer that has ever appeared for a second time on Lockdown. Because it was part of a before and after of a much earlier episode. So
Okay.
I Was Made for Loving You is clearly that's been on my mind as a song that I just vibe with that song. I think it's a great song.
It is. It's great. I didn't know. I didn't come to mind.
Jeff, you had a really good game. You crushed your categories and you ended today with, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 18 points.
I'll take it.
Yeah, 18. Thanks for coming and playing. You were a joy of a host on Frenemy, and you were even more enjoyable as a player on Lockdown, if I would say so myself. You were super fun.
Thanks. I had a great time. And I've enjoyed listening to the podcast. Like I said, I think I got them all this week, at least parts of them all. And one thing I like is how you, at the end, kind of talk about your process of what you thought writing them, or what could be done, differently, the next time, that sort of stuff. Just kind of, you yourself being reflective, but I think it also helps people who might also be writing, trivia to kind of keep those things in mind. Cause I know definitely after, my show last week, I was like, oh yeah, I would have done on several of them different, but but that reflection is always important. So
I appreciate that. I think that's the, unsaid mission of this podcast is to have those folks that are the niche crowd that write trivia regularly. Let's have a conversation about how we can do this better and how we can maybe unify to just produce good trivia, whatever that the pedagogy of that is to say, this is what a good trivia question looks like. I hope to contribute to that in some way, I guess. Jeff, do you have anything coming up you want to shout out? Anything that you want to make sure gets some air before we get out of here?
I would just say I'm said this at the end of our Frenemies. Just been on a big kick of trying to, unplug for a while, right? So, I think it's, unplug when it's not the social stuff. I know a lot of us play trivia online, and that's, to me, a little different, but just... I think at times where I could just, you sit down and suddenly it's a half hour later and you haven't done anything, so just, I'm kind of on a thinking and, kind of on a question rather than one thing I learned, I think it was from Will Wheaton wrote about it, but just a mindset of rather than like saying, oh, I'm not going to do this, like, oh, I'm going to. Or rather than saying I'm going to exercise every day, just kind of switch it around in your head and say, like, is this a healthy decision? So every time you like go to do something, like, hey, you go to grab a second beer, is that a healthy decision? And so you're constantly thinking yes or no, rather than, oh crap, I didn't exercise today, right? It's just kind of, and I think it makes you more aware of constantly these little decisions you have that could make you reach your goal. So, I've been trying to do that when if I notice myself picking up my phone, hey, do I need to actually look at my phone right now or whatever? So just kind of, not even putting a time limit on it, but it's just, hey, is there something else I should be doing right now type of deal?
Yeah, I love that because I had a really bad scrolling addiction. Like the doom scrolling and TikTok and Snapchatting just to be sending something. And I recently stepped back significantly from that. And I have felt like my days are more enjoyable. My generation does not know what it's like to live in a world without social media. And so I kind of asked myself, to your point, what if I was born in 1950? Like what would my life be like right now? Aside from the fact that my healthcare would be worse, try to love and experience life with the people that are around you. I love the message. I agree. And I hope folks will put their phone down now and then, except to listen to Lockdown Trivia. I love it.
All right. Thanks, Dalton. I had a great time.
Yep. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Thanks again, Jeff, for coming on Lockdown Trivia. Before we debrief on this one, I do want to shout out Brandon Fellows. He was episode 1 of Lockdown Trivia. He hosts trivia at Brewski's in Springfield, Illinois, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. He wrote the Muppets category for this particular episode. It was one of those that I knew I couldn't do justice the way he could. I asked him and he contributed. So thank you very much for that. Jeff loved the category. I think that the takeaway from this one was that this really was a good episode in terms of increasing difficulty and making it as enjoyable for the player as it was for the listener. We really hit the sweet spot in this episode. I think what I took away from this one was the importance of timing. I cut a lot of reel from this episode in editing, and it's because Jeff and I wouldn't shut up. We just had enough similar interests that we could talk about things, but because of, honestly, our age discrepancy or some different angles we had on this interest, we contributed new things to each other the whole time. I learned a lot hanging out and talking with Jeff, but holy did it take forever to record this episode. And I think the takeaway from that maybe is there's nothing wrong with that in a podcast environment so long as you're willing to edit. But when you're hosting trivia or when you're writing and hosting trivia, remember that more than anything, the game is about the players. It is not about you being good at riffing. It is not about you being a funny host or an enjoyable, person to be around. It's about the game. It's about the integrity of the questions. It's about the enjoyment of the players. Make sure your pacing is good. Make sure you move on, that there's not so few questions that people are bored. There's not so many that they're overwhelmed. And make sure they have a little bit of time to have their beer and have their food and enjoy their company as they continually answer questions. I was raised in the Twin City Trivia ecosystem. And so there's, an expectation of about, 40 questions a game, essentially, that I expect. And that's in an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I think the takeaway from this one is when you're hosting and writing, make sure that the focus of the game is the game, not you. Move on. Keep people engaged, but keep them relaxed. That perfect sweet spot makes for the perfect trivia night. Your bonus question from this episode comes from today's National Blank Day, and it is National Catfish Day as of airing. Here's your question. Catfish are among the most popular groups of fish. However, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service ranked catfish behind bass, panfish, and what other fish in popularity among U.S. anglers? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Jeff one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to be on your own episode. You can sign up with the link in the description of each episode. All you're going to need are 4 expert categories and your favorite music genre. We've got solo, cooperative, and competitive modes coming up in Season 2, so there's all kinds of new ways to play this game with yourself or with your friends. I cannot wait to see those who sign up. The correct answer to today's bonus question is trout. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. I can't wait to continue to learn, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to unlock our brains one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll see you next week. Big love for the Muppets, and he was just itching to write another one of these categories. So shout out to Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Your 4 key Muppet
question. Maybe not. I'll wait till I hear the question. Before I say
we'll see if we like Brandon win the category.
Yeah.